This audio file is created by Panopreneur. You can get it at www.panopreneur.com. Pentecost Sunday. First posted May 11th, 2008. Joel 2:28-29. Outpouring of God's Spirit. Psalm 104:25-34. God's Providence. Acts 2:1-21. Day of Pentecost. John 20:19-23. Jesus appears to his disciples. Joel paraphrase, "And it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." Joel 2:28-29. Some paraphrase, "Consider how great and vast are God's works. Creation has been designed in God's wisdom, and his creatures fill the world. Consider the vast oceans, filled with living things from one-celled organisms to the largest whales. The largest ships seem tiny compared to the ocean. Every living thing depends on the Lord's providence for their daily necessities. When the Lord provides, they gather it up. When the Lord opens his hand, they are filled with good things. They are dismayed when the Lord hides his face from them. They die and return to the dust from which they were created when he takes their breath from them. When thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the ground, earth." Psalm 104:30. May the Lord be glorified forever, and may he rejoice in his works. A look from the Lord causes the earth to tremble, his touch causes mountains to smoke. As long as I live, I will sing and praise the Lord. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Psalm 104:34. Acts paraphrase, on the day of Pentecost the disciples were all gathered together, probably in the upper room in Jerusalem where they had been staying. From heaven, the sound of a mighty wind suddenly filled the house, and tongues, flames, as of fire appeared and rested upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, languages, according to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. There were many Jews from other nations and foreign converts in Jerusalem, from the distant corners of the Roman Empire and around the shores of the Mediterranean Sea. At the sound, a great crowd gathered to see what was happening. They each heard the disciples declaring the gospel in their own native tongues. They were amazed, recognizing that the disciples were Galileans, and wondered how they were able to hear the disciples proclaiming the great works of God in their own native languages. But some in the crowd suggested that the disciples were drunk. Peter addressed the crowd and told them the disciples weren't drunk, because it was only about 9 o'clock a.m. Instead, they were witnessing the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. Peter continued, saying that Joel had prophesied that there would be astronomical signs and disturbances of nature before the coming day of judgment, the second coming of Christ. In that day, anyone who called upon the name of the Lord would be saved. John paraphrase, in the evening of the first Easter Sunday, the day of Jesus' resurrection, the disciples were gathered together in the upper room where they had been staying in Jerusalem, and they had locked the doors, in fear of the Jewish leaders who had crucified Jesus. Jesus appeared and stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." John 20:19. He showed them the wounds in his side and hands, and again offered them his peace. Then Jesus told them that he was sending them to complete Christ's mission, as God had sent Jesus. Then he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John 20:22. Then he gave them the power to forgive or retain sin. Commentary, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, from 350 to 400 years before Jesus, began on the day of Pentecost, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus' disciples. We cannot begin to understand the meaning and purpose of this creation and temporal life until we understand that it is the creation of God, designed for his specific purpose. We are not the result of a cosmic accident. God has always intended, from the beginning of creation, to establish an eternal kingdom of his people who willingly choose to trust and obey God. This creation and lifetime is designed to allow us the freedom to choose whether to trust and obey God, and the opportunity to learn by trial and error. But God is not going to tolerate sin, disobedience of God's word, and evil, the result of that disobedience, forever. So we and creation have been limited by time, decay and physical death. God created us by breathing the breath, spirit, of physical life into us, Genesis 2:7b. We die when God takes away the breath of life, according to his time and will. This lifetime is our opportunity to receive the breath, spirit, of eternal life, to be spiritually reborn, John 3:3-5-8, by the gift, anointing, baptism, of the indwelling Holy Spirit, which only Jesus gives, John 1:31-34, only to his disciples who trust and obey Jesus, John 14:15-17. We are recreated with eternal life by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, and this ground, this creation, will be renewed by his word. We need a proper perspective of ourselves in relationship with God. When we understand that we are not the center of the universe, we begin to understand the supernatural vastness and power of God. We need to realize that everything we have is a gift from God, and not our own accomplishment. We need to learn to rely on God to supply what we need. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the ultimate providence of God. Only by the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit are we able to understand, trust, obey and please God. Only by the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit are we restored to fellowship with God and to eternal life in his heavenly kingdom. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they had received the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, Luke 24:49, Acts 1:4-5, 8, and as they trusted and obeyed, they received the fulfillment of the promise. The book of Acts is the record of the empowerment and guidance of the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit on the lives of the disciples. Jesus told his disciples to go only after they had been empowered and equipped by the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, see above, beginning from Jerusalem through Judea, Samaria and to the end of the world, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus of forgiveness and salvation, and to make disciples of Jesus, teaching them to obey all that Jesus taught, Matthew 28:19-20. The very day of Pentecost that promise and command began to be fulfilled. The gift of speaking in tongues, languages, is the reversal of God's confusion of language at the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11:1-9. The disciples needed to communicate the gospel in other languages, and the Holy Spirit supplied the ability to do so. Peter is the example of the changed heart and spirit of a born-again disciple, by the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Peter, who had denied knowing Jesus to the most menial servants of the Jewish high priest, John 18:15-27, now boldly accused the Jews of killing their promised and awaited Messiah, Christ. Both words mean anointed, i.e., God's chosen, in Hebrew and Greek, respectively, and called them to repent of sin and return to obedience to God. Peter testified to the coming day of judgment and the second coming of Christ. He testified that deliverance from God's eternal judgment and condemnation is only through Jesus. Not everyone who calls on Jesus will be saved on the day of Jesus' return. Only those who have truly accepted Jesus as their Lord, the one they trust and obey, will be saved, Matthew 7:21-27, Luke 6:46. Jesus promised to reveal himself to his disciples who trust and obey Jesus, John 14:15-17, 21, 23. He began to fulfill that promise after his resurrection, as recorded in John 20:19-23. His disciples were in the upper room in Jerusalem in obedience to Jesus' command. Jesus showed them his wounds from crucifixion, so that they would know that it was indeed Jesus, raised from physical death to eternal life. Then he gave them his command to complete his mission to the world to forgive sins and to restore to eternal life and fellowship with God through faith, obedient trust, in Jesus Christ. Jesus is God made visible in human flesh, in this world, Colossians 2:8-9, John 20:28. Jesus' word is the word of God, John 14:10-24. Jesus' word has the creative force of God's word, Mark 4:39-41, compare Genesis 1:3. Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit, John 20:22. They received the Holy Spirit as they trusted and obeyed Jesus, staying in Jerusalem as he commanded, until they had received the fulfillment of the promise. Jesus gave his born-again disciples the power to forgive or retain sins, which Jesus had. Jesus' primary mission was to feed and heal spiritually. His physical healing and feeding miracles were intended to show that he could also heal and feed spiritually. Jesus' physical healings were accompanied by his pronouncement of forgiveness of sin. Physical healing and feeding are of no eternal benefit, unless spiritual healing and feeding has taken place. Jesus pronounced forgiveness of sin to those who came to him in obedient trust, and he also pronounced warning of eternal condemnation on those who refused to believe and come to him for forgiveness of sin, John 8:21-24, 9:39-41. Is Jesus your Lord, Matthew 7:21-23, Luke 6:46. Are you Jesus' disciple, John 8:31. Are you trusting and obeying Jesus, John 14:21. Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed, Acts 19:2. Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands, Matthew 28:18-20. Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity, 1 John 5:11-13, Ephesians 1:13-14.